What if you could change your life? What if you could turn the sorrow into joy and the darkness into light? What if you could not only heal yourself, but those around you? Well, you can. It's called alchemy. And these are the Alchemy Sisters. Psychic medium, Jenny McDaniel. Life coach, Mandy Elam. Join us for an hour of enlightening discussion.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to the Alchemy Sisters. I am Mandy Elam, and I am here with Jenny McDaniel, and we have a fantastic guest today. Her name is Cynthia Martin. She is a conscious soul. She specializes in a lot of things. She is a soul alignment strategist. She specializes in conscious soul parenting. She helps with emotional fitness and energy medicine. She has over 20 years of experience with many different healing modalities, and she really helps mentor people through their energetic sensitivities and helps figure out how they're spiritually gifted. So welcome, Cynthia. Welcome, Jenny. So excited to have you both here tonight.
Thank you, Mandy and Jenny, for having me on the show with you guys. I'm super excited to be here today.
Thanks for coming on. I'm really looking forward to today's show. I love it when I get to sit with my sisters and talk about my favorite topics. It's one of the best feelings. So I'm super excited tonight, too.
Yes. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who bared with us last week. We had some technical difficulties, and for some reason, Blog Talk Radio kind of shut down on us. But we got it all figured out today, and we're going to have a beautiful talk. So let's jump into it. So Cynthia, Jenny and Cynthia and I were just discussing a little bit before the show started about what Cynthia refers to as the spiritual genius zone. Cynthia, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that I love doing, you know, and I work with those that are part of, and us, I'm going to say us because I pull us in that category. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here doing this work. But I specialize particularly in working with the minority of the world. We're 20% of people who are biologically wired to be more tuned in and aware and fully present to the higher frequencies. Whether we are consciously present of it, that's a whole nother story. But ultimately, we experience life more intensely. And, you know, the majority of those, which are about an estimated 1.4 billion, according to scientific statistics, that of all population, the entire global population that is born this way, and most of us are walking around clueless to what that means or that it even is a real thing. Most of us feel out of place and don't fit in our lives. And for myself, you know, and I imagine it's a similar story because it's so many of the women that I come across that are doing this amazing work, changing the world with their gifts and developing their spiritual cognition and their intuition, share similar stories where, you know, we spent most of our life doing really good at adapting and by adopting different identities and fitting in the best way we can, but taking up so much of our personal energy to try to do that. And now is a time where we're waking up to those gifts. So even that being the case, a lot of us are still trying to, like, you know, discover and figure out what that all really means for us individually. And I love bringing the way my mind works, and this is why I also, even in this reality, in this world of spiritual pioneers and healers and, you know, people serving the greater good, raising the vibration of the world and increasing consciousness, you know, 1% at a time, still, I didn't fully fit because I would, you know, Jenny, we had that conversation where we find ourselves expecting to find others just like us, and we're still a little bit too far out there. And, you know, it still makes you feel kind of like out of place. And so I've been on this search most of my life. One of my gifts is asking those out there questions and with the help of spirit and now being in this process of, you know, taking my personal development into the spiritual realm and allowing myself to be guided, I get a lot of more clarity, and ultimately it makes more sense. It's just the longer you do the work and the more intentional you are about really going into the depths of your shadows, and you get all that muck out of the way and you do a better job of, like, you know, giving your ego a cookie and a wine break, so that way spirit can kind of take command, you know, so that way you can let that stream and that flow of inner wisdom and higher consciousness really come through you, so you can get those answers. You start to discover it's not about better or more. It's just really fine-tuning what it is that is unique about you and your gifts, and bridging what knowledge we've been given so far with the spiritual guidance and making sense of it. So, you know, it's simple because it's available in different pieces, but there's not a whole lot of places where it's all pieced together. And this is what's been kind of unfolding for me. It's like, you know, the different pieces of me coming into full view. If you hear noise in the background, I am a mommy of two highly sensitive, intuitive kiddos that love to be on cue and know when I got stuff going on. So forgive, you know, the background, you'll hear them. But, you know, and they're part of my reason, because they were going through their experience, and that's what catalyzed it for me. So, you know, what you see out there, what I was saying, is that you'll find people who've been down the path and who give you one piece, right? You can hold on one second.
Oh, not a problem. Okay,
it's so true what Cynthia was just talking
about. This is life, guys, in real time.
It's fine. You're good. I love that you're a mama.
Alrighty.
I love these
Say
things
hi.
That have happened this year.
Hi.
Where,
hi, guys.
Aww, hi, guys.
Okay, honey. Go ask Papa for all that. He'll take care of it, okay? Okay. So, so as I was saying, is that you'll find different people who have done a really good job of giving us information on one aspect. So, for example, you can go out there and discover what it is to be an empath, and you'll get similar information that, you know, it's pretty much available, but it doesn't give you the full view of what else is behind that, right? So, for example, you know, I've talked about on a show that I do in the afternoons on Thursdays on Blog Talk, that there are different varieties of empaths. So there's global empaths, people that are tuned into what's happening to the people on the planet. So if there's natural disasters and there's crisis, it's like, even if you're not watching the news, you can pick up on that frequency. So that's what you're tuned into. That's the signal. So imagine the radio station in which your extrasensory system is dialed into, and your gift is wired so that you can support people who have had to deal with crisis. Or you're an animal empath, you know, and those are more common, the animal empath, which are the fauna or the flora, people that are really in tune with nature and the plant life. And then, you know, there's the geomantic, which is the earth empath. So there's a variety, you know. The most common we're all familiar with is the emotional, because we all are very much aware when we get the emotional psychic attacks, right? But ultimately, you know, so how often have we felt like this has been a disability, you know? And I see this on a regular, like I had these blog posts or these, you know, Facebook posts where people are just like being victimized by their own gift. Why? Because they haven't discovered how to navigate it. They don't understand what it means, and they don't understand how to access its potential and realize that it's a very powerful gift that gives them a clue into what their purpose and what their mission on this planet is. And it doesn't mean this grandiose, destiny, where it's like, you know, you have to go and end world hunger or things like that. I always say it's like, you know, our destiny is to be like the full expression of our soul, intertwined and harmoniously interlaced with our, you know, our earth beingness, our humanity, and bringing those two components into harmonious, synchronistic dance, right? Because it's not, I see these people and, you know, let me know what you guys see, because I think that's what triggered one of the conversations with you and I, Jenny, is so many of the people in the spiritual community are like trying to escape the human school. And it's like, you guys, we didn't choose this life. We didn't choose to come here at this time just to escape it. right?
Mm-hmm.
So
totally. Yeah.
You know, so
it comes up all the time. It's like people are like, it's, you know, it's really, really hard, and it's, you know, this is, it's depressing. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't incarnate to the Pleiades this time. The Pleiades has like 98% heart energy. They're almost see-through or something like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like they're very,
yeah.
Their frequency is of such. I mean, you came to a place to experience something in particular. And I love that you use the word pioneers, because that's what I think we are. We come in to this wildly egoic planet with the intention of alchemizing that ego into heart energy, understanding, love. And it's a big, big gift. Game. And I think that you break down, Cynthia, brilliantly in a way that people can understand. There are different types, but you look in, you feel what is talking to you, and you. Because I work with a lot of millennials, they're like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm like, well, what pushes your soul? And then that will lead you into a potential area that you can study and look deep there. And then, of course, we're the old soul, so we're never going to just do one thing. It's going to be one thing after another, and learning and growing. So. Yeah, it's a tricky thing for the old soul, because we love everything, and to like narrow
mm-hmm.
it down to fit into a human construct is quite frustrating sometimes. So
yes, to try to condense it to where you can actually put it in a nice little, you know, pretty package, and it fits in your mouth, right, where you're not like choking on it.
Right.
So, you know, that, and also understanding the different aspects of those gifts too, because, you know, I didn't understand that there was like different clairs and you know, we all mm-hmm. were taught in school, like the physical aspects, the very 3D aspects, like the sensory input. We understand that there's, you know, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. But nobody bothered to tell us that there's these extra sensory, you know, incredible, powerful gifts that make it really pleasant to be a human if you really know what's going on. You know, it's like this secret superpower. Like, I used to really connect with the superheroes, because I'm like, damn, like, I think I have some of that stuff, right? Because, like, I can see things and I can hear things and other people don't. And if I say it out loud, they're going to probably put me in the loony bin. But that's the beauty of having this knowing of ourselves and this understanding of what that really means. And if you really can find yourself in a place where you can discover the full potential of those good, you know, those goodies, those gifts within you, that is a tremendous, amazing potential to be a powerful leader in your own life. Like, magically in your own life, that's all you got to focus on. It's not about like trying to go out and lead, you know, people and have other people follow you. That's all about the ego. But ultimately, mm-hmm. if like you can just lead your own life with integrity and authenticity, just by the mere fact of that choice, that conscious way of living, you influence everyone around you, and you set this catalyst. It's like when you, you know, you cast stones. Did you ever like, you know, skip rocks on
the
water, like in the lakes?
Yeah.
Right? The ripple effect. You might not even know how far it casts, right? So those are the beautiful
things. You just flashed me back to a past life with Jesus. Like, he just did such a beautiful job of leading like that. Like, I was just, when you were saying that, I couldn't help but fall in, you know, he was so good at that, just like leading by example without the ego of if I have this many followers and, you know, under, you know, money, or it was, he did that perfectly.
And that's, you just displayed one of those amazing possibilities of what exists, because this mm-hmm. whole journey, like when the millennials ask you, when a millennial asks you, like, what do I do? It's your job is to remember your truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's not overcomplicate it here, guys. It's like, you know, I'm guilty of it. I'm raising my hand right now because, you know, at the beginning, like ever since I was a kid, you know, when I thought of the word destiny, I was like, oh my God, I'm on this massive mission and it's impossible. I don't even know what it is. I got to discover it. It's massive, you know, and it's scary, and won't I? And then it's like this added pressure that is, again, being overshadowed by the ego, because we have this notion or this idea that it has to be this grandiose process. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not. It's just becoming whole and living your truth and understanding what your particular truth is, because it's designed for you so that you can speak in the language in a voice that resonates for very specific people that not everybody speaks, right? And it's not meant to be that way. And when you said, you know, like, you know, talk about that experience you shared with me in Colorado, right? You know, looking for that connection with your tribe. Well, it was a stepping stone. I had a lot of stepping stone experiences and amazing connections. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't the thing that was meant to satisfy that part of me just yet, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a journey for any of us that has a specific framework or timeline. The whole point, as long as every single day you are committed to discovering what that truth is and understanding how it works for you and not following somebody else's blueprint, then life becomes magic. That's when the unfolding starts, you know? So how much do you girls love that unfolding? Like, you, when you really know you're in alignment and then just life just kind of just goes, ta-da, you know? It just shows up and you're like,
feeling.
Isn't it though? You know,
it's a layered experience. I mean, it comes like, it's exactly like that. Like my husband used this really cool term the other day and I thought it was really cool. He's like, we're paper tigers. We will be tigers until something happens and then we crumble and we're just water. You know, it's like
I love that.
You get going and moving and you're just accelerating and you're experiencing this height of what you're capable of, or at least getting there. And then suddenly there's a crash and then it's very hard to pull yourself out of that drop and then get back up into that running mode. It's a heavy dimension. Like we were talking about earlier, we didn't come here to have an easy gig. We came here to like challenge ourselves and see how much ease and grace we can bring into this space and do inner healing like you were talking about, which does that beautiful ripple effect. I love how you brought that up. I tell people that because when they do something and they're like, I said something and they resonated with it and then I saw them like open up like a flower, I'm like, ripple. And they're like, yeah,
ripple.
Then they're going to take that.
Yes.
They're going to take that other places and share that. It's contagious.
And that's the gift in it all, you know, and what I'm noticing now, and you guys tell me what your experience is, but as we all are now moving into this new energy, you know, let's talk about this year. So the most poignant way I saw it, communicated was this post on Instagram, and all it said was 2016 the caterpillar, 2017 mm-hmm. the cocoon, and 2018 the butterfly, right? And mm-hmm. it's about our emerging into this new space. And the beauty of it is that if you're really willing to open yourself up to look deep into, with a new perspective, of course, you know, and this is the challenging part, because people, it's so easy for us to get stuck into the, you know, the paradigm of the pain and the struggle and the lack and all that, because that's our programming and our wiring. It's like it's a bad virus, you know, working like, you know how we have those apps draining our battery in the background in our phone? That's what I refer to them as, because mm-hmm. it's like those crappy apps that just are not useful and they're just sucking up all our energy and it doesn't serve us in any way. So it's just about cleaning up that energetic feel and creating movement from within and neutralizing our reactions so that way we can become intentional. And from a standpoint of being the observer of our own lives so that we can make conscious choices, because from that neutral observer standpoint, we are, you know, we are more fluid and we are more malleable and flexible, and life doesn't hurt so bad, right? It's still going to happen. That's a guarantee. I'm not making any promises about getting blissed out, because I remember spirit when I finally got that answer, you know, it's like, why are you all so interested in us? You know, like, I get it. We were an experiment and we're like your babies and you're just watching us blossom to see what we do, but what's the deal here? And why? Because you were talking about the Pleiadians, right? Like, I had mm-hmm. a higher self from that Pleiadian aspect that was guiding me at the moment and through this journey. And in one breath, I got to experience what it is that they see the beauty in humans, is that our capacity to be able to experience a multidimensional expression of emotions. Like in one moment, we can be happy, sad, mad, glad, right? And mm-hmm. always strive for love. And that is what they find beautiful. And they said, I said, it's all great, you know, being so evolved and happy and in love and in peace and all this. But, you know, being blissed out can get kind of boring. So I was like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, a little adventure, a little excitement, you know, and we all have our missions and our purpose, and we're all tethered and tied, and it's not just one reality. And once you can get your mind around the fact that we are multidimensional, interdimensional beings that have multiple aspects of ourselves being expressed at the same time, mm-hmm. as far as your mind can imagine and beyond, then life becomes a little bit more interesting. That perspective really was something that just kind of made it like, whoa, but it's not just about me. Like, it's me, but on whole different levels. And everything that I do, so this is one thing that I share this little nugget, but it's just like the reality of like everything that I'm consciously choosing to do, that you're choosing to do, Mandy and Jenny and everyone listening to us, that we choose to do consciously in this life with the intention for contributing to the greater good, to the whole, to the source, right? Coming back and reuniting with our mm-hmm. source within us, our divine expression. We are unwinding the karma across multiple dimensions of aspects mm-hmm. of ourselves. Think about that. Really, yeah. If you let that sink in, you're going, dang, like I'm doing some good. So even if you don't solve a problem that you think you have to solve in this life, just the mere fact that you're consciously choosing to live, you are shifting the paradigm of many aspects on your stream of mm-hmm. your lives, of your, you know, spiritual expression, your divinity across other dimensions. You know, when you start to look at life that way, things really shift, and you just, it makes it a little easier to spend less time in the crap, you know, and by crap, I mean, it's our skewed perspective of what our experiences are, you know, because the experiences are experiences. We make them what we want to make them based on what our thoughts and our beliefs are. But ultimately, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you look at life from that perspective and you can appreciate yourself and the way that you operate in the world, and you start to understand and really learn how to master that personal energy and your interactions with other people's energy, and having that power to like be present and make a choice that says, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to be the source of love for somebody else. Then life is a whole new game, right? You're raising your vibration. Sure. You're raising other people's vibration, and you're impacting the consciousness just by that mere choice. And, you know, life is very different from that point, and it makes it easier, and you get to appreciate those moments of like, oh, there's my 3D again. It showed up. And don't get me wrong, I have those 3D moments on the regular because I'm a mom with, you know, with a lot of 3D realities of busy lives. Just like all of us have so many busy things that really quickly, you know, careen us down that path. But I spend very little time there. And I love it because I can appreciate it, and I know. And then spirit reminds me, it's like, you know, they'll send me a little hummingbird or two, or they'll send me random birds that have no business flying together. And it's, you know, like the other day is a falcon and a raven. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, where is there a falcon anywhere near here, let alone one dancing and hanging with the raven? It's like, what is going on? So it's just those lovely moments that just bring me back to my center, my home, you know, and it's like that peaceful heaven on earth within me, that, which is ultimately the goal. And this whole business of trying to escape any of it is going to set you farther down the path of misalignment and incongruency. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guarantee you that the journey is going to be a little more treacherous than you want. So I don't know how you guys can interlace those experiences in your world and what you see. So I'd love to hear about it.
Do you want to go, Mandy?
Yeah, sure. I resonate with that a lot. And something that really popped out at me as you were talking, I really just loved everything you were saying, but I noticed a lot with this whole, Jenny and I are always talking about the battle of the heart and the ego, and how, you know, this ego is so present in our faces right now, and it's so hard. And I see this especially with, you know, my clients and friends and my community and sisterhood of these amazing women, especially who I've met that are empathic and beautiful and sensitive and have all these amazing spiritual gifts. And I've noticed that there's a big blockage, and it was even, I even did this myself when I was younger, but there's a really big blockage in like the control aspect. And it's really hard for people, especially women who have huge hearts, to really lead by example and just let plant seeds and let others follow, you know, especially if you grow up in like maybe a household where you're like the oldest child and you're constantly the caretaker or the other parent, or you're, you know, trying your best to care for things that are not completely in your control, but they are. And then you carry that over as you grow and as you awaken more. And I've really seen such a battle with letting go of control and really resting that ego. Do you have any tips for our listeners and for, you know, for the, especially the younger women listening, of how to do that and how to really gracefully learn how to, live and let live and be there to hold space and support and love and growth, but at the same time know that you only have control over your own desires and reactions?
No, and absolutely. So, you know, with this whole new energy coming back to the, to, you know, the emergence of our butterfly transformation, right? Like that grace, because what's more graceful than a butterfly transforming from this, you know, caterpillar? And, you know, the caterpillar gets a bad rap because, you know, people don't think it's cute and it's ugly. And it's kind of like how our experiences are when we're not, where we're looking into coming into ourselves. And, you know, you, when you're saying, it's like that whole dynamic that you described of like being the oldest and having these responsibilities, it's like, oh my gosh, how does she know my heart? Like, how does she know my life? But that's, you know, those of us who were, who have chosen and who come from the light warrior, or, you know, even if you work, because I know a lot of very powerful people who are skilled and have chosen to continue to support people through the shadows, right? You know, like I have some girlfriends who are very amazing shamans who do that deep shadow work, and they got some stories. But ultimately, what it is, and I'll share a dream because it's a message, and I think it's important to be shared here. But resisting and fighting that aspect of yourself is part of the problem. And wanting to only skew your energy towards one direction, because I did this, right? I have, most of my life, my energy has always been highly masculine. And because of my experiences, I'm the oldest of five kids. I've seen the many faces of trauma. I've seen many faces of abuse. And that's not what this show is about. I just say those things because it's like I understand what it is to live in the shadows of the 3D and what's very real. And I just had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine. I mean, it was so, at some point, I was so present to that discord, and I was very angry, and I blamed the concept of God. And I'm like, how can this divine being allow for this kind of stuff to happen? Because I would see the news and just, you know, just stories and of my friends and just different things that I was far too aware of. And a lot of highly sensitive people are very aware of and they take to heart and they carry it with them. So, not condemning any of it and making peace and actually going through your process to integrate that, because what I've come to realize is that my divine feminine was always present. But during that portion of my experience of my process of having to remember, needed to be highly masculine in order for me to survive the circumstances so that I can get to the place where I can begin to shed those paradigms. And for me, the last 2 years, that whole caterpillar into the cocoon has been the process of setting a foundation, shedding those old paradigms. And shedding them, not meaning like giving them up, but just creating a brand new relationship with them. And approaching my awakening and my spiritual evolution from the aspect of compassion for that side of me, because part of the struggle was that inner battle, that inner power struggle with that side that I was rejecting, because it's so easy, especially with what's going on in the world right now. You know, it's like the masculine energy is getting a little bit of a bad rap, I would say, you know, because it's like we're focusing heavily on the feminine, but we don't realize there has to be harmony, there has to be synchronicity and balance with the divine masculine and the divine feminine, right? And the only way that that's right, the only way that that's going to happen is if you embrace and honor both sides. And in order for you to get more into your grace, you have to make peace and create a new relationship with the masculine aspect that has probably dominated most of our lives as women in this generation. But it was necessary because, you know, think of Xena the Warrior Princess, or think of Wonder Woman. I mean, how amazingly well-timed was that movie? She is the embodiment of the masculine and feminine grace, because her level of compassion that she can marry and bring forth even when she is having to step up as the warrior. That's what it's about. It's not about one or the other. It's intertwining the two in harmonious balance. So, you know, I know that's a long answer, but ultimately it's like you got to start first by making peace with who you thought you became because of paradigms that were imposed on you. No, your soul chose to go through those processes and understand that it was necessary for you to remember. And when you begin to honor your past from the perspective of the observer, going back and looking for the blessings in disguise and the lessons, because that's what starts to become apparent when you begin to embody your feminine grace. The compassion that you can reflect upon your own life is your divine feminine. And that forgiveness for those heavily masculine experiences that you created is what's going to bring you closer to your breakthrough. So
I love how you combined them. Combining them feels so good to me. Like, I really work with a lot of feminine energy, and it's one of my favorite topics. But I'm really interested also in the masculine energy, because if anything, that's where there needs to be healing everywhere, but it's heavy.
Yeah.
The ego is heavy in the masculine energy. So if anything, we should embrace it with like understanding, like you were talking about, and help some space to heal it. And as opposed to one against the other, it's a combined union. It's the yin, it's the yang. It's the perfect connection and balance that we're seeking. You can see it even coming through the younger generations when they're deciding they don't want to be determined a gender or a certain one that's not where they were born. You can just see this even coming out in subcultures. I mean, the desire for it is huge, and we've got a lot of us on the planet right now. There's a ton, and there's more coming in. Us older generation crystal kids, like, there's plenty before us too, but like,
yeah, right.
Like Cynthia's kids, and then Cynthia's kids, if they want kids, they're going to have kids. It's just going to trickle down into this beautiful, it's really like a chess game from the non-physical. We're like, okay, let's strategize, pulling the blades down. All right, looks like it is. And I love how Cynthia described it, how it's kind of when you were younger, you're like, I got this big mission. Oh my God. I've also felt like that, but I didn't know what to think about it. I didn't know how to understand why I felt like we were going to accomplish something here. I grew up in middle class, middle of everything, America, you know, just I didn't see it. And that's why I love the X-Men. I do not like comic
Girl.
Book stuff generally, but my brother's like, Jenny, this was year 2000 when the first one came out. He's like, Jenny, you have to watch this one. I'm like, Lonnie, you know, I don't like this stuff. I'm like, all right. He never gets like that with movies with me. So I went and watched it, and it blew my mind. And what I love,
right?
They were fighting for heart energy and teaching the younger generations to also do it. And I thought that blew away every other super healer, you know, hero or healer on the market, because they were like doing the deed and showing others how to carry on with them and behind them, and maybe even launch ahead of them and be bigger and better. And that's what we need on the planet. One of my biggest love your teaching, and I would love to. It's my biggest dream is to have a school for empaths. It's been there forever.
Oh my God, girl!
I'm going through the motions. Yeah, I want to show people how to use those other senses. I want the teachers to teach the academic stuff, of course, and then I want to be there to help them understand all these other senses that they can feel, and it's very open. And then we start to really bring in generations that will bring us to what the Pleiades, you know, like a high level of heart energy.
Yes.
But it's millennia off, and it's a process, you know. But we're here for the big overturn.
Agreed. And you're going to laugh because I am a superhero comics nerd, and the reason why was because of the X-Men. And mm-hmm. my brothers and I'm the oldest of five, and we would watch this, and I just felt like they were my people, right?
Yes.
And the whole school thing, I made that decision as a kid. I even had this conversation the other day with a girlfriend of mine because it was like I saw Dr. Xavier, which is like he is the guy who is, you know, trailblazing and trying to integrate, you know, and bringing peace and harmonious synchronicity between the races. Because for those that are not familiar, who don't watch, who are not geeked out on the X-Men, it's, you know, and it's such a parallel, but it's this race of what they call mutants, because each one of these individuals who are, they look in and just like everybody else, right? Like the humans, but they are gifted with these supernatural, extraordinary, powerful gifts from, you know, being able to shoot lasers from their eyes or being able to grow bones out of their, what is it, Wolverine. He can grow these bones and he turns them into metal. And then these people who can manipulate the elements. So it's like I was watching it as a kid going, oh, my God, like, why do I feel like that's home? And fast forward, I am now mentoring people who are part of the 20% minority who don't understand their place in the world and who are hiding in plain sight because they're afraid to be found out. And here they are with these powers, intuitive gifts, and all this untapped potential. And I was like, I want a school like that mansion, like Dr. Xavier, and I just want to have this place where all these kids can come and live there, and then they can be free to be who they are and teach, like you just said, teach them all the you know, the traditional educational stuff that they need, like math, reading, and all that. But it's like really it's going to be about helping them evolve and master their gifts and figure out how they interlace with each other, because it's this you know, this beautiful thing where it's not about ego in the sense of my power is better than yours. It's like mine complements yours. And
yes.
That's such an amazing idea, because that's essentially what we're trying to do. That's what we're pioneering, is for people to discover their full potential, their inner wisdom and their inner gifts, and figure out how to navigate it so that they can contribute to the world with whatever it is that they came to contribute and unify all of us, because there's no sense in the separation. And that's what that whole idea is of bridging that masculine. And so beautifully said, Jenny, because that's such a, you know, when you hit my comic book nerd button, and you, it's like it was such a great display, because it is. It's like both the masculine and the feminine, because you can intertwine the compassion, but also embody the power that is masculine, because the masculine energy is what drives us to do, right? And the feminine energy in the doing, we can find compassion and grace while we're doing it. That's why Wonder Woman is such an amazing model for that, because that character, that's what it is. She's all about having compassion for our humanity, but also, you know, understanding that each of us is on our own path, and it's not up to anybody else to make it be or look a certain way, you know? So, my goodness. So we're totally like sisters from the higher mister. That's what I'm going to call us.
Yeah.
You know, those schools are happening. Those schools are going to happen, no doubt about it. It's something that's funny, because growing up for me, I've always known that I'm a teacher of some sort, and I've always wanted to have my own school, and I've had all kinds of crazy different paths. I was going to be like a wilderness therapist and all kinds of different stuff. And then now as I've evolved and awakened, I see more what that's coming into. And Jenny and I have had, you know, conversations over brunch in Boulder, dreaming it up, and it's going to happen. And I'm so excited. And I'm so excited for how fast things are happening, actually, and how much, you know, of the just like I guess, like, kind of the low vibrational, egotistical, trauma, drama, all of that, that so many of these future children behind us are going to avoid. And we're just going to, like, watch how they can, you know, of course we're going to have, you know, human mistakes and errors and little things here or there, but it's not going to be as heavy as what all of the people who came before them dealt with. And we're going to be able to, like, really just see what happens when we just can love them and accept them for who they are as a small being. It's going to be fantastic and magical. And
well, and that's totally what we're up to. That's totally what we're up to, and that's what we're creating, whether we're intentionally doing it in a specific fashion or format. That's ultimately what we're doing. That's why, you know, we're leading the way, and our children have chosen us at this time. Even those that have parents that are not fully awake, you know, I don't mentor kids. The kids get it. They're waiting for their parents to catch up. Right. And it's like, even though it's, you know, that's more of a slow going part of my trailblazer's path, because it's such a big task to take on, is to educate and bring people to that awareness. But it's really a big part of, you know, the foundation of what it is and why I'm doing it. Because how many, you know, thinking back on each of your own childhoods, it's like being so misunderstood and having this ability to see the world a certain way and to experience it a certain way. And, you know, we are creatures of connection. Like, our brains are wired to connect. Our souls are meant to connect, because we are connected. And we're trying to create that in our physical realities. And what do children just want? What does any human being want from the minute that they're born? Is to be loved and to give love. Right? Yep. It all comes back to love. And, you know, to not feel safe to love or to be loved is a travesty. And you said it, you know, perfectly, because the children of this generation, of this new conscious evolution, are not here to go through the trials and tribulations that we had to. Like, we were the light warriors, or the warriors to come in and pave that path, so that when they decided to come here at this time, is so that they don't have to go through those challenges, that they will be solving challenges, you know. And yes, they're going to have their human experiences, but they don't have to go through the trauma drama. And it's like, I'm so grateful, because having two little kids, I started late. I have a seven and a half year old and a 4-year-old, and you know, my gosh, it's like trying to get to their starting point has been, my goodness, they've definitely fast forwarded my process. Let me just tell you that. And they constantly take me on journeys and wake things up in me where I'm going, okay, mom's got to, you know, put on her running shoes. Cause it's like, I gotta pick up my pace just to keep up. And they just need us to be the models to show that having courage to be authentic is the right path. And a space to have a voice. And, you know, the era of silencing children has to end, because it's not an option anymore. You know, we are advocates for the future generations. And I'm really grateful to be on this Earth School with you ladies, because, my goodness, it really does take a village of, you know, higher intention beings that are doing the work. And even if you're not fully there, I'm not fully there. I don't know that I will ever fully get there, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, as long as our intentions are to do the very best with it, that integrity, we're in good shape. And the fact is that we don't have to do it alone anymore. And that's why I love what you girls are doing, what you ladies are doing, and this empowerment that you're providing just by sharing and creating this space. Because this whole, the masculine, that part of the masculine that has to, you know, be buried and given a great farewell, is that whole idea of competition. And I see it still even in the spiritual communities, where people are afraid to, like, share their ideas, or they're afraid to, like, collaborate, because they're still struggling with their ego. That is not an option for us. It's just not. That has to die. That competition is what gets it in the way, and the collaboration and the unification of what we all have individually is only enhancing what we have to offer. Because alone, yeah, we might make a dent, but together we are changing the world. And that's why I love, you know, the Alchemy Sisters and shows, you know, like this, where just sharing the message and getting the work out there is so important. So, you know, I'm grateful to you both, and I'm really honored truly to be part of that. So, you know, I love all of it.
Thank you so much for coming on. You've been a fantastic guest. I mean, we'll definitely have a few more minutes to chit chat, but I wanted to highlight what you've been bringing up with, you know, we really are, you know, we need to do this work together. And my favorite way of, you know, and Jenny and I have talked about this with our listeners, everybody who's listening is familiar, but we talk about, you know, the balancing of the masculine and the feminine within us, and how, you know, in order to heal the masculine, you know, basically we just need to love it, and we need to let men know that it's okay to feel their emotions and nurture themselves and, you know, follow feelings and their intuition. And it doesn't have to be this constant state of, you know, of intense competition and fear and this what we perceive as masculinity, and how that needs to be balanced in each and every one of us, or else the ego gets completely out of control, which we've seen. And it's really what I've been enjoying too with the internet and with just speaking my truth and being like, hey, I'm waking up, I'm here to do all this work. It's been this overwhelming feeling my entire life. I finally know what it is. I'm like, all right. And I felt that same pull. I'm like, I'm ready to find my true sisters and my tribe. And I have in lots of ways. And it's funny because the times where I've had expectations, like Jenny, when you mentioned moving to Boulder and hoping you were going to meet all these, you know, amazing psychics and whatever, it's funny because I've invited that into my life, but none of it has come in like a grand, you know, influx, with exception. Mm. I did get to go to the Rise Sister Rise retreat by Rebecca Campbell in upstate New York, and there were 60 amazing women there. And it was really funny because as the days went on, we realized about half of them were, you know, awakening empaths. Like every single woman in there had like the biggest heart of gold. It was amazing. And then the other half were all of these like really high frequency healing women who were like on like, you know, a whole nother level. So you had like all of the healer women like talking about all kinds of stuff. And then all of these like empaths just like mouths wide open crying like, oh, my God, what is this? But it was really nice because it was like this nice even balance of being able to take one another under our wings and help, you know, help really ground, you know, all of us who are floating up in the universe. Like, oh yeah, we're here, we're humans, we got to do this, you know. And then for the ones who were, you know, too grounded, to really open up in different ways. And like, we've created an online Facebook community, and like everybody is talking, and people are ready to put the swords down and ready to just work together and lift one another up as a tribe, because we have a lot of work to do, and we have to work together to do it, no doubt about it.
There you go. And you really nailed it, because, you know, if in two words, if I can say what the expression of the divine feminine is for those of us who have been operating more heavily on with the masculine most of our lives, my hands up, raised up, is compassion and collaboration. And those two things, if you can operate from that space, and there is no room for competition there. Right? If you have compassion for yourself always first, it makes it easier for you to have compassion for your sister and your brother right next to you. And you have no problems collaborating with somebody else and really sharing your heart and your wisdom and your knowledge so that somebody else's life can improve, even if they're in the same field as you. Guess what? It's like this, you know, what Rise Sister Rise, literally, as you lift, you have your sister's, you know, foot in your hands, lifting her up, you are lifted automatically. And that's what the divine feminine grace is all about. And it's embodying both of those things, because the masculine exists within the feminine within the masculine, and there is no separation of the two. And, you know, I was going to share earlier a dream, and I'll summarize it, but ultimately I was placed in a situation with thousands of my aspects, different faces, different lives, all in one building. And it was a competition. It was some kind of contest. And the contest ultimately was not to lose your stuff, right? Not to let the warrior come out and take over, which was like the dominant masculine who was like always having to fight and conquer. And at one point, because my masculine, my ego was so strong, I was like, I'm not going to lose this. So I had to excuse myself to the bathroom, and I had to walk this long hallway with every aspect, like trying to provoke me all the way to the bathroom. And even in the bathroom, I couldn't even use a stall. And I was like, I'm going to use this bathroom, whether I, you know, end up doing something that is not right, it's going to happen. And in that moment, I locked eyes with this one version of myself. And I felt my higher self within the dream whisper to my ear. And it's like, stop fighting your femininity. Stop fighting your grace. And in that moment, it hit me. And it was just like in those movies, like in The Matrix, when everything pauses, like nobody's saying anything. And I'm doing that long walk back to my seat and everything's silent and calm. And that's what I had to make peace with. I had to make peace with all of those aspects of my masculine self in order for the strength of my femininity to come through. And it was just this amazing experience. And that's ultimately, you know, the beauty and the power behind that, you know, and the whole room illuminated once I was able to accept that, right? And now integrating that in everyday life is also a process, because it just, you know, there is that piece where you still have to do the work until you're fully embodying that. But, you know, it was such a profound message, you know, and it came right at the turn of the year. And I was like, oh my God, okay, you're kicking it up a notch over right upstairs. Thanks so much.
Ready or not.
Ready or not, here you go. So, you know, and thank you, girls. You know, thank you, girls. It's an endearing term, so forgive me. I don't mean it in any way other than just pure love.
No,
but it's,
I
like,
say girl all the time. I think all right. It's the intention behind it.
Yeah, so it's like, for me, it. Like that little girl in me is what I need to play with more, and that's why I use it more often. But ultimately, it's like, you know, I honor all of you, and I honor myself, you know, seeing the things that we're up to and how we're connected. It's really a beautiful thing. So, you know, just can't wait to take it further and see what unfolds for all of us, you know, and I'm really grateful.
Very exciting. You know, I remember a piece that you said earlier, and you were like, why are you guys so interested in what we're doing? I had like a slew of souls come in when you said that. And you were on a wonderful piece, so I didn't interrupt, but I thought I'd bring it back. And it was just like, all these entities that have been in our time frame continuum, like, we'll start at the top here. We got Prince, David Bowie, Janis Joplin.
Nice.
They're just lining up. And they're like, you want to know why it's so exciting? Is because we have some investment in that stock. And
mm-hmm.
we love, and that there's no money clearly in the non-physical, but there's energetic understanding, and it's a ripple effect, and it ripples all the way to the non-physical, so to speak. And they're interested in this intense game that we have going on in the planet, which is, I mean, if you've ever heard of the story of the Lemuria and Atlantis, there's many versions, and there's probably no wrong or right way to describe it, but the essence is the same, which is Atlantis was really, really the masculine energy and wanting to invent and move and try to control the weather. Lemuria was the peaceful spiritual level at an island or space or continent. And there was this battle. There was this really intense battle of the spiritual people being like, you know, Atlantis, you can't try to control the weather and think everything's going to be okay. You just can't do that. Kind of like what you could say about HARP now, if you're into conspiracy theories. But, you know, it's the same dynamics. There's a lot of parallels. So when you were talking about healing one aspect and it rippling out into the parallel or all of the multiverse, however you want to say it, we really are going to break down a lot of constructs in this time frame continuum if we continue to pull the heart over the ego, which, from the way my teacher sees it, and he's an excellent trance channel, he's brilliant, and the way that I see it is we do this in the next 10 years. So, Mandy, when you were saying things are getting intense, I'm like, they're going to have to, because if we're going to flip this pancake, we got to get ready. We got to get underneath that pancake, get ready to flip it over. And that's sticky, right?
I love that.
So it's a really intense time, and we didn't come in as weak souls. We had to send in our best troops, our most rogue soldiers, if you will, to come into the space of heavy ego, heavy patriarchal influence, heavy abuse, and just ego in general, and come here. And this is why the old soul loves coming into dimensions like this, because it is a challenge. And when you actually do change the dynamics, which according to the way it looks from this angle, we do this in the time frame continuum. But once you do that, you actually just not only break down multiple karmas across the board, but your own personal karmas, and then you get to get these, like, it's like spiritual awareness. It's like you get another, there's no metals in the non-physical, but it's something like that. Like, I've been through this. I feel that I've healed the space in myself, and I healed it in others, and it's this really giant award. I don't know how else to say when you got to the non-physical. It's like when you come into a pretty mediocre basic life, you come back and you have a lot of rewards in that way. But when you come in and you make a huge splash and you go for the gold, you come back like, you know, and there's no ego per se in the non-physical like we know of it in this body or human space. But you go back and you have this really great sense of enlightenment, and it just grows us. And I don't really know all the levels and the steps, but I'm imagining ascended master is a pretty high up space. So I think that, for example, us on the phone, we kind of play in that space, and you can describe it any way you want. There's many ways to look at it, but getting to these really high spiritual spaces and going back to the non-physical and then choosing an even more difficult space to bring through and to heal and to clear and just moving it through these really, really high spiritual awakenings and understandings. It's pretty exciting to be here, and I just love that I run into women like you that I can talk about this stuff with, because very often it's lost, even on the most, you know, even the regular spiritual person, and it's lonely at the top, so to speak, and I hate to let my ego describe it in that way, but it feels that way, and so I'm so grateful to run into ladies like you.
Girl, you ain't lying, let me tell you. Because it's like, if you're, you know, if you're on that path and I understand what you're saying. It's not about the ego. It's just that if you're the first one through the door and not everybody walked in at the same time, there's a pretty good space of waiting to, you know, to find someone who's, you know, riding in parallel at the same pace at the same time. And just thankfully now we're in that time-space continuum where more and more of us are meeting in that space and able to express ourselves, because there's always going to be, like, you know, I always call, like, the equalizer, like on the DJ booth, right? Like, you know, like they have the different levels, and it's just a matter of where our personal trajectory takes us, and where we land at different times. And, you know, are we prepared to align with others that are up to the same thing? And are you in congruency with your own path so that you can navigate alongside somebody else's, so that you guys, so we can rise up and evolve together without the isolation? And that's the beautiful thing, that enough support, even though we're still in the early phases of this evolution, there's enough support and enough information, thank God for the internet, that we have been given access to more of what we need to find, so that we can not just be seeking, but actually connecting with others that have similar experiences. And I think that's what shifted, is that more and more people have been healing enough of those wounds where the visibility is not so much of an issue, where we can reach out and connect, and we're finding each other, and there's that strength in numbers building, right? And more of us are starting to realize that we've been on the journeys long enough that we're meeting in the same place at the same time at the right time, which is freaking fantastic, let me just say, because it's
what we're hoping
in
for.
That phase. Yeah, that's what we're totally hoping for, because nobody wants to do this ride by themselves. I sure as heck don't. You know, I'm done with that.
We might, you know, like you said, there's power in numbers. If we didn't band together, the likelihood that before the planet shakes us off, for us to bring the heart over the ego, you know, there's a little crunch there. It's pretty stressful. Punch time right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I kept getting.
You were both saying, like, it's so vital to remember too. Like, we still, though we are, you know, of these higher frequencies and, you know, continue to invite that into our lives and constantly want to grow. Like, it is a basic human need, you know, to love and give love, but to, you know, be seen and be heard. And I think it's incredibly important for, you know, us as healers and us as, you know, just people in general to find, you know, our cosmic soulmates and find people who can really understand what we're saying, because it gives us so much more energy. And it's like no longer the time of like a witch alone, whereas we do need that time to, you know, to ourselves with our own thoughts, with our own time. But like, we really need other people to hear us. And especially now that we're really coming out on this, you know, different level that not everybody can speak to us about, it's really important to find these, you know, these soul sisters and these people. It's a vital thing for our human experience in this lifetime.
And I'll add one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead. No, so I'll add one more thing, just because what I've been experiencing and to motivate others to really like take that leap, that quantum leap, is that the more you do your work and you find yourself connecting with others that are on the same stream in that cosmic family, that your energy and your potential expands. So I just want to share that, because that needs to be motivation enough for us to like really make it a point to do it.
Wonderful.
Mandy, did
Jenny, what were you
going to say? It slipped. I've been having a lot of information come through, and that piece slipped away, but it'll come back potentially before we end the show. But I was going to ask, it's 10 o'clock, and if Cynthia has a few more minutes, we can go for a few more minutes, but I was wondering, did we ever get any callers?
We did not.
Okay.
We did not, and that's okay.
I was going to use the opportunity to showcase the trilogy of the Alchemy Sisters. That's where I was going to go. When Mandy and I started the show, we really wanted to bring in, we wanted to, like, nurture the teachers and the high-frequency healers, everyone. But we really wanted to kind of target market or lean into bringing and working with soul sisters that are just right there, ready to just run, and we were hoping to pull in a lot of that energy, and you being here tonight, Cynthia, definitely adds to what we were already doing, and so we're putting it out to the universe that we're looking for. I don't like to use military terms, but I don't know how else to do it, because we're in this human form, and I don't have anything else to compare it to, but it's like we're like this army, and no one's really ahead of another, so it's not like your typical military, so there's no hierarchy. It's just this wisdom that's coming in. You can see it, and you know, I don't know what the percentage is, like the 20% of the sensitives that are going around kind of hiding in the middle of the of everything. It's I don't know if I could break it down to a different number like that, but there is a percentage in that space that sit, and there's no better or worse. It's just experience. It's like who has the most experience in this job, and at different jobs, it'll be different people, and I think we'll utilize that more in the future, as opposed to we just pick these people, they make all the decisions for us, they go by their standards. There's really, when I never really get very many glimpses of the future. They show me little pieces in what could be and what we're going to, but when I have gotten a really good still frame of what things look like in the future, and it really looks a lot less pyramid-y and more just a lot of leaders and more of I guess what I understand is a proper democracy, where it's, you know, not a republic where you elect certain people that just have your control in their hands. It's less of that and more of a not so tiered. It's like everyone's in charge. There's more inequality, which is a beautiful, more sustainable way of life. But we were really hoping to pull in some super high frequency guests and callers and people and reach people that feel like they're unheard across the board in all aspects, but definitely in even their own awareness. Like when I went to Boulder, I met a lot of good psychics, but I thought that a majority of the people were going to be thinking the way I think. Not that they had to be psychics, but they could be engineers, they could be teachers, they could be whatever. But going where I went in my mind, and it was fun and it was a great experience. But what I learned is I'm my own leader. And I think you started the show out like that, where it's like, it is like a, you can do it together in a group, and that's powerful. But finding who you truly are is so internal, it's going to be so different. And it's comparison, like you said, is the death of a lot of things. It's the ego's most grandest plan is to, it's ego is how it is, which it is. It wants to keep growing like a cancer cell. It doesn't even care the cost. And it's a brilliant tool, if I might say. I don't like to give evil props, but it's a brilliant tool in their own right, because the ego has us comparing ourselves, and we can't bust away. Now, if you look at someone and you say, I desire to be as skillful as that individual and aspire and have heart energy and love and acceptance and you admire this person, that is a good competition. The bad competition is constantly trying to be a one-upsman, and that's your ego competition. The healthy competition is your higher self seeing a version of what you can be and what you've probably been before, what you'd like to be, in somebody else and aspiring to go into that space. You know, young athletes looking at Michael Jordan, I would like to be that, you know, or something like that. That's healthy, and that lures you into a beautiful place. But that whole comparison thing, it's the miraculous little tool that ego has to keep us in the egoic space, as opposed to the acceptance, the love, the understanding, the excitement.
Yes, and so, you know, with ego, and a lot of what I teach as well is, like, you know, because again, just like masculine, you know, the masculine energy is like, I know that that's not, I'm not saying that that's what we're doing here, and by no means, that's why I want to make the distinction for the listeners, is that the ego is a tremendously powerful tool. Its job is to, you know, self-preserve the conscious mind and the body based on its beliefs and all those things. But ultimately, the ego needs a reboot. It needs to learn how to reframe its mission. It needs a new mission, and it needs a new perspective. And what you're saying, Jenny, is, you know, to see the great things that other people are doing, and so that you can be inspired to aspire to your greatness and let that be a model for what's available, right? And you know, not fighting against our ego. It's, you know, I do a process on every, like everything that I do, I started off, like when I'm teaching, is that we give our ego permission to take a break so that they can see from a different perspective in the room, and letting them see what it's like for our higher aspect and our divine self and our divine expression to be the one to lead us, so that they can get a sense of what it looks like and feels like to have that new set of framework and that new rules of looking at life and experiencing life, because it doesn't have to be on the defensive. And that's what I think my dream was all about, was that, you know, my ego has been doing its tremendous job and doing it really well and preserving and keeping my heart safe and that little child inside of me safe, but there's no sense of danger anymore. So what do you do? You know, one of the things that I did for a long time was I was fighting my shadows. Not that I did the shadow work and I did a lot of, you know, understanding and all that. But what I was doing was, like, what I see a lot of people in the spiritual journey doing is, like, I only want to live in the light. Well, there is no balance there. You know, so there's a movie called The Suicide Squad, right? And the premise is like the real bad, the baddest guys of the bad, you know, they're like in these, they're all locked up in these special, you know, containment units. And the world is threatened by this entity. And the only ones that can stop them because of their skill set is these bad guys. And they're forced to fight for the good guys. And they complete their mission and they have a sense of new purpose. You know, it got skewed at the end, but ultimately they got to feel what it's like to use their skill set that only they were designed for the greater good. And that's what the ego is looking to do. That's what we're waiting. That's what we need to do with our ego, right? And to be inspired by that divinity within us and bridge that gap, so that way we can live our lives more in integrity with our authenticity and aspire based on the models that we see of what's available. And that's the distinction that I have with that whole comparison, right? Because at that point, it's not comparison. It's about an aspiration to be greater than what we have experienced up to that point. Because we don't know what we're capable of until we try. And then once we've accomplished that, there's a new level of growth that's available, right? And that's why, for me, I say, I don't know that I'll ever be done with my growth, because every day I'm learning something new. And even though something I already knew, I now have a new angle and a new way to look at it, which opens up a whole new way, you know, and a whole new avenue of possibilities. So, you know, and I think that's what you're creating here. And that's amazing, because it's like to you've already set out that being, that beacon for all of those who play in that space to bring it forward. And it's interesting because I'm currently collaborating with a really good friend of mine who's an astrology, an astro coach. She's an empowerment coach specializing in astrology and human design. And we're bridging both of our talents together. And we do very much similar things, but we do it in our own way that is complementing. And what we realize is that we are mentoring the trailblazers, the very people that you're talking about, the very people that you are. And that's what's tremendously, you know, brilliant about what it is that we're coming to do together. And, you know, there's going to be, I already saw, they already gave me a vision. I won't talk too much about it. We'll do it offline. But, you know, like that collaboration and bringing it together where it's like we're bridging all of these aspects of our own individual worlds to make that process and our foundation more stable and expanding so that we can hold that space for those that are transitioning into their different phases of their journey and until they get to that place of, you know, being on that same level. So freaking A, let me tell you, I'm excited. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, you know, I really love working with healers, and I was called several times in Boulder, the healer's healer.
Yeah.
Healer specifically, and with massage, energy work, psychic work. And I thought that was so cool. So I love that you guys are collaborating and mentoring and holding space for their, it's like the X-Men. You guys are doing your version of the X-Men, holding space and showing people what they've got and helping them see, you know, putting up the mirror, letting them see, letting them unfold in a safe place and with someone who has experience and understanding. It's some of the best work you can do on this planet, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm biased. I'm a healer.
you're not biased. You just know.
I was like, nope, you know it.
You just know. You don't have to, you know.
And I think, you know, I think the ego gets a bad rap, like the masculine energy gets a bad rap. I think that on some level, and it feels this way, and I use it in my spiritual teachings, is in the right context, ego is a beautiful tool because it takes some level of ego to say, I want, I need.
Mm-hmm.
I desire. It's not the big ego, like I want to hurt people. It's the it's the touch. It's the pinch of salt and bread. You know, it brings alive this. I use food analogies. I love food. but you know, it can be useful. It's like a sword. It can hurt somebody in an inappropriate way, or it can free someone from their ropes. You know, it can be used for good or evil, and it's the context in which you push these energies. And people with hardly ego tend to be doormats, and I don't want to generalize things or anything, but they tend to just let things happen to them as opposed to just the slightest bit of ego and being like, no, just no, not anymore, not today, not ever, or just shifting that gear. It's very helpful to do, but it's like fire. It can get out of control, and then before you know it, you need to have to maintenance it and keep it in line and check it and stuff.
Absolutely. Well, and it's creating that new partnership, you know, and that way you don't have to put it on a leash, and it's not trying to overpower you either. Because believe me, when my ego shows up, she needs a double cookie and a brownie.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, sit down. You need to chill out for a minute, you know, but like you said, it's a very powerful source of tremendous strength, and it's a place where we can draw courage from, but also, like you said, can do a whole lot of harm if you're not aware and it's leading you and you're not in awareness of what it is and how it shows up, right? So beautifully said. I love the food analogies, you know, because it's like, oh, I totally envisioned it. I'm like, oh, it's just a perfect pinch of salt. Like, I just, delicious.
Jenny's so good
at make
that.
It pop.
You are. I always love that. It's so good.
Amazing.
It makes so much sense, and everybody relates to it. Like, it's awesome.
Totally.
I love it.
It also makes me hungry.
Yes. Speaking of which, I should probably head out and cook some dinner. I think I'm going to make some chicken salad tonight. I'm going to make chicken breast and a big bed of greens tonight.
Yeah.
So it's so wonderful talking with you, ladies. And Cynthia, I hope that you can make a regular appearance if you, whenever you have time and whenever you have open space. Just know here that we're here on Thursdays, and we'd love for you to even just call in if you have a few minutes. Or
absolutely, I would love
come back on the show just like we did today. I really appreciate you, and you bring so much to the table. I respect you fully and highly, and it's so wonderful working with you. So hopefully we could do this again in the future and bring
more
awareness.
Oh, my honor.
And wonderful. I appreciate you. And of course, Mandy, I love working with you. You had the beautiful fire and the energy, and it's just a wonderful dynamic. And I feel like even though Cynthia won't be on every Thursday with us, I feel like she also is an alchemy sister. So we'll do some christening here. And,
yay, honorary alchemy sister. I love it. Well, you know, I already projected that even before I got it. I'm like, oh, I'm an alchemy sister. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you
beautiful.
Sure are.
I'm really honored. So thank you so much.
Our vision of the alchemy sisters is really, it's like an umbrella for, you know, for all the healers to heal, and for all the, especially, you know, we call it the sisters, all the women to step up. And like, you know, Jenny and I come from a very heart space energy, and we just want to connect with people. So if anybody's listening and wants to call in and you feel like you're an alchemy sister or have something to offer or share with our listeners just to help make this world a little bit of a better place, we invite you. This is a very all-encompassing kind of energy we have going on, which is so nice.
I heard you all listening should take that opportunity. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give a little shout out to Drew Pillow. He is responsible for making this show happen, and he helps us every week getting our episode going, and we use a little bit of his time on Blog Talk Radio, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful resource and tool and friend. And so I just wanted to thank him for all of his hard work. And you can catch us here every Thursday at 9 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio, The Alchemy Sisters. You can find us on any podcast search engine. And also please follow our Facebook page, The Alchemy Sisters. We're always sharing fun little things on how to heal your things that are going on in the planet and how to raise your vibration. So we love connecting. And thank you again, Cynthia. Thank you, Jenny. Bowing to you both because you're just incredible. And yes, all the love and light and best wishes for the rest of your week and year.
Back at you, girl. and a cherry on top.
Thank you so much. You guys have a lovely evening.
Good night, girl.
Good night.
Bye.
What if you could change your life? What if you could turn the sorrow into joy and the darkness into light? What if you could not only heal yourself, but those around you? Well, you can. It's called alchemy. And these are the Alchemy Sisters. Psychic medium, Jenny McDaniel. Life coach, Mandy Elam. Join us for an hour of enlightening discussion.